Now we have in chapter 21 something that I think is quite interesting. It has to do with murder. And it's a very interesting thing. If one be found slain in the land, and this is verse 1, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then thy elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain. And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take a heifer which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, and the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. Now this was to be an offering for the city that the dead man was found nearest. Here's a man that obviously has been murdered, and his body is found. They measure it, find out what city he's closest to. And that city is held responsible for that man. May not be. It was slain in the city. That is true. But that city is held responsible. And here's what they were to do. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by thy word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charges, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Now, this is without doubt a very wonderful law and a very wonderful arrangement, and it reveals a great basic truth here, and that great basic truth is this, that every community, every city, you and I bear a responsibility in the city that we live in. So that actually when crime takes place in that city, we have a certain responsibility. That's my reason for believing today that ultimately there will have to be a demand made by citizens, concerned citizens today, to demand that law be enforced today to get rid of the crimes that are taking place. Because God holds a community responsible. But this man's been found there. But wait just a minute. This lawgiver in this city says, I'm not guilty. I had nothing to do with that murder at all. All right, he is responsible. But therefore he shall come and ask for forgiveness, and it shall be forgiven him. I wonder if today that even if there's any suggestion anywhere that America should ask God for forgiveness for our many crimes and the many things that are happening in this land of ours. It's one thing to say, oh, isn't it terrible? Oh, isn't it awful? It's another thing to go to God and say, oh, God, forgive us as a nation. Forgive us our sins today. Now, this also has another meaning here, and that meaning is just simply this. Christ was murdered. Yes, he was. But his death could save his murderers. And I think that centurion that had charge of his death is one of them. Then you have a remarkable law here that concerns the prodigal son. What should have happened to the prodigal son when he came home? Let's read and see. According to the law, and our Lord there that day, he shocked the crowd that listened to him. When he gave the parable of the prodigal son, listen to it under law. Verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. All the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Will you notice, this is the law concerning the prodigal son. You can't imagine what a shock it was when our Lord gave the parable and that boy came home and that father went out to meet him. Why, immediately the crowd would say, well, that boy's going to be stoned to death. He's getting what's coming to him. Or that father could say to his servants, go get a switch. Go get a hickory limb and bring it here. I'm going to whip this boy in an inch of his life. He has spent my money. He's disgraced my name. And according to the law, he had a right to do that. But what did he say? Why, he put his arms around the boy. So my boy was lost. He's come home. Friends, aren't you glad it's not under law today? When we came to God, if we'd have got justice, this is what we would have got. But we didn't. There was mercy there for us. And how wonderful and merciful God is to accept us and receive us. Verse 22. And I'd like to begin there today because that's a very important statement. And I'm reading them now. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now this seems, I'm sure, to many of you to be a very strange law, especially in view of the fact that what we have here is a form of capital punishment that Israel did not currently use. And that was, they stoned. Here it's hanging. And what does it mean? Well, it means simply this. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. In other words, after he's been stoned to death, he's to be hanged on a tree. Now, this applied to criminals of the worst type. And they were put on display there to let it be seen that they had died for a terrible crime, and it would be a warning to others, you see, in the nation not to commit that crime. But they were to be taken down from that tree before nightfall and buried. And the reason for that, of course, was that they were accursed of God. And cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, we're told here. And this was to be done. Now, I'm of the opinion that little did Moses realize, and certainly the children of Israel did not realize the full significance of that. Now, when you come to Galatians 3:13, Paul picks up that statement in the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that means cursed of God is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, this is a remarkable statement. You see, by the time you come to the Lord Jesus' day, he was delivered into the hands of the Romans. They were in control of the land, and therefore the extreme penalty, the death penalty, could only be given by Rome. And our Lord was crucified on a Roman cross, because after all, Rome gave the decision to crucify him. They had to. And he was put on a tree. Now, Paul picks that verse up, and he says that when he was hanging there on the tree, he was taking our sins, and cursed of God was his condition. Because what has he done? He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's redeemed us from the curse of sin. He's redeemed us from the penalty of sin. And he's brought our pardon. Why? Because he's been made a curse for us. And when you see him hanging on the tree, and I get a little weary of these people trying to decide whether the Romans were to blame for his death or Israel was to blame for his death. May I say it to you? You were responsible for his death, and I was responsible for his death. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, and he hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, because we were bruised by the fall and cursed by the law. But Christ hath redeemed us once and for all. This is the thing that he did for us there upon the cross, and we are the ones responsible. Have you noted, friends, how many places the book of Deuteronomy is quoted in the New Testament? Now let me just pause to say this. This is the reason that we're teaching all of the Bible, all 66 books. Now, if God had only wanted to give the Sermon on the Mount, that would have been it. If he'd only wanted to give John 3:16, that would have been it. If he'd only wanted to give John 14 and 1 Corinthians 13, that would have been it. But, friends, he just happened to give 66 books. And every one of them is important. Now, even a book like Deuteronomy is important. It would be difficult to understand a great deal of the New Testament if you did not understand something about Deuteronomy. Now, that's the reason we're spending time with it, and there's such tremendous spiritual lessons here, and I'm rejoicing in the reaction so many are giving to us.